GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hildreth Tyler Show. Legal Briefs are partners, Lanham, Blackwell, and Baber, with Brett Baber dialing in on the PDQ door telephone line this morning. Brett, we want to jump into it with the news accounts that we shared on our Facebook page as we set up our question of the day. Listeners may recall that Bangor police charged Rayshawn Moore, age 34, of Bangor, with the murder of Demetrius Snow, 25, of Bangor. They were called to a parking lot off Harlow Street early Sunday morning. Moore had posted bail, 10 hours before the alleged fight and the killing of Snow. Now, that was Bangor. Now, let's go down east. Thomas Bonfanti, 63, of Northfield, facing 3 counts of murder Monday, shooting and killing, allegedly. Sean Curry, 57, Samuel Powers, 33, Jennifer Bryant Flynn, 49, and police confirm they'd arrested Bonfanti for OUI last Friday night. He made bail Saturday. In the Bonfanti case, he was in prison. He was in jail, rather. He got out 2 days, day and a half before the crimes. In the case of Rayshawn Moore, he got out 10 hours before he committed the crimes. Should we have tighter bail restrictions in our state?
That's a legitimate question, but I don't think these two cases make the case for that. I think these two cases are a statistical anomaly, one occurring here in Bangor and the other occurring in Washington County. I do not think, unlike the state of New York, who's going through a bail crisis, I don't think these cases are indicative of a failed system. We need to start at the top with our first principles in criminal matters, and that's the U.S. Constitution. The Eighth Amendment specifies that excessive bail shall not be required. That effectively begs the question as to what is excessive bail. And the Supreme Court and our law court have consistently ruled that bail would be excessive if it's more than necessary to assure that the defendant will show up at the proceedings and to protect the safety of the community. So in these two cases with Mr. Moore, he was charged, and there's a little more of an argument that bail might have been higher for him. His bail was set at PR bail. He'd been charged, as you say, within 48 hours of having committed two misdemeanor assaults. And according to the district attorney's comments in the Bangor Daily News, the DA was only seeking a fine on those charges. So in her view, those charges were not enough to ask for even more than personal recognizance bail. And because of the terminology we're using, let me explain what these are. Personal recognizance means you get to get out on your own signature. You promise to show up and they'll let you out. And then there's unsecured bail, which is if you violate your bail conditions, you pay a certain amount of cash, assuming you have it, $1,000 perhaps, or $500 unsecured bail. I think Mr. Bonfanti was out on a $500 unsecured bond. So he's promising to pay that. Now he's been charged with murder, and the likelihood of recovering on the bond is pretty much null and void. And then there's secured bail, in which the person or some of his family and friends post money or real estate to secure the bond. So those are the three types of bail, or they can hold them without bail in the county jail, or the if the county jail has to send them to a prison pretrial, and they're held there without bail pretrial. So the presumption in Maine is you get out on some form of personal recognizance or unsecured bail unless there's a demonstrable evidence that you're not going to show up for trial, or you're committing or you're likely to commit further crimes, or you pose a safety risk to the community. Mr. Moore, arguably, with a couple, he had a prior assault and had just been charged for two more assaults. Arguably, there's a safety, a threat to the community there. I don't think it rises to the threat of predicting that he might commit a murder within 48 hours. And Mr. Bonfanti, charged with OUI, again, there's a safety risk to the community when somebody's driving under the influence, but it's not the type of risk that's going to result in the denial of bail under our current system.
Covering news throughout the years, the one issue that the public often does not understand, because we see it in the mail we get and the text messages we get, is that they don't understand bail. They hate that. There's criticism of bail all the time. You can see it on the social media. It would seem that the understanding, and you've put it clearly, bail is not a penalty. Bail is not designed to penalize somebody. So somebody's released in $5,000 bail, and immediately you'll see on social media, why didn't the judge give him $100,000? Why did the judge even give him any bail? And it's very difficult to predict future conduct, isn't it?
Well, let's put this in context for the audience. Keep in mind that we have the defendants are people charged with crimes are brought into court usually within 48 hours, give or take a weekend, brought into court for initial appearances if they're held in custody pending an initial appearance, or if they get bail from a bail commissioner, they will have an initial appearance and bail is reviewed. There will be 30 or 40 cases set for initial appearance in the morning, and then maybe another 30 or 40 cases in the afternoon. And so these cases are coming fast and furious at the judge. And, these are really difficult decisions for judges. But again, their hands are, their decision-making is guided, if not constrained, by the U.S. Constitution and the statutes that effectively are presuming unsecured bail unless these, factors are considered. And then, the judge has to rely on the state to provide evidence. If the state is wanting conditions of bail or no bail in various serious situations, then the judges will hear from the state and then from the defense counsel. And, of course, the defense counsel will be arguing in most instances for lesser bail than the state wants. And the judge, by statute, is required to set the least amount of restrictive conditions to assure the person's appearance in court and the safety of the public. And I think under the statutory factors that we could run through, the judge in both of these instances set appropriate bail. Now, what's going on in social media is, coming out of the state of New York, where they've got a completely different bail system, where they're letting out people that are charged with, burglaries and, felony thefts and, very serious crimes, and they're letting those people out on personal recognizance bail, and then those people are turning around in very short order and allegedly committing new crimes. We're not that far in Maine because the judge does have statutory authority to tell somebody, no, I'm not going to allow you out on bail, or I'm going to set a very high bail, or we're going to impose a whole bunch of conditions on you.
Some listeners are wondering, they often hear after an initial court appearance, and in the case of Mr. Bonfanti and I believe Rayshon Moore as well, both are held without bail after the crime. But if they were taken in for OUI, it's doubtful that they would get held without bail, because that's a judge's initial decision. Is there no latitude for a judge to exercise some discretion and err on the side of safety and give that really high bail amount, even for an OUI?
Well, unless the OUI involved some death or severe injury, or it's the fellow or the man or woman's fifth or sixth offense, or that committed multiple offenses, if there's some showing that this person's going to be driving under the influence within short order of leaving the courthouse, then the judge might post very high cash bail or secured bail with real estate. But again, the statute, pursuant to the U.S. Constitution, that says judges are not allowed to set excessive bail. They can only set it as high as is reasonably necessary to assure the presence of the defendant at trial and to assure the safety of the community. Now, assure the safety of the community doesn't mean we're able to guarantee 100% or 90% of the time that somebody is not going to reoffend or allegedly reoffend while they're out. Now, in these particular instances, the reason why they are held the second time on no bail is because they are now accused of, you know, the most serious of offenses, and that's murder. The Maine Constitution provides that there is no bail in capital offenses. We have eliminated capital offenses, and now there's what's known as a Harnish hearing for those people that are charged with a capital offense. The name Harnish comes from a case, I think, in the late 80s, in which a defendant by the name of Harnish challenged being held without bail on a murder charge. And the court has to, you know, they'll hold a multi-hour evidentiary hearing on these cases to see if, you know, there are any conditions that might assure, you know, the community safety and so forth. And these conditions can be very significant, like requiring them to live at a particular location or maintaining employment or giving up one's firearms, abstaining from drugs and alcohol, so on and so forth. So in addition to posting a large amount of cash or a security.
If you can do it in a short order, why do we need bail commissioners and what do they do?
Bail commissioners are the lucky folks that are appointed by law to basically be available in the courthouse after hours, nights and weekends when the courts are not open, and to allow people, again, with very modest offenses. Bail commissioners do not have authority to set bail in a wide variety of cases like Class A, B, C, so-called felony offenses, ABC crimes in Maine. And there's a whole host of, you know, like domestic relations type cases where they're not allowed to set bail. And that reminds me to go back, George, you had mentioned the ability to predict, you know, reoffending while out on bail. The district attorney pointed out in her comments that there are no real solid risk assessment tools. In domestic violence cases, judges are required before they can set bail. Bail commissioners are not allowed to set bail in a lot of domestic violence situations. Judges are required to use a risk assessment tool for the to determine or get some handle on whether or not the defendant is likely to engage in further domestic violence activity. And I don't know how well that's working. I think, you know, there have been very, you know, famous cases. There was one in the early 90s in which a judge here in the Bangor area set bail in a alleged domestic violence assault, and the person within 48 hours committed a murder of his spouse at a commercial business in Bangor. So the bail, the legislature took a look at the bail code at that time and determined that these you know, domestic violence offenses were, had to be looked at much, much more closely than they were before. And that's led to the development of this risk assessment tool.
We got 60 seconds left. Do you think the events of this past week will lead lawmakers to, again, reassess what bail should be, what it could be to help protect people from incidents like what occurred in Bangor, like what occurred in Machias?
Again, I think these two cases are sort of anomalies. It's very interesting that they occurred in the same period of time. I think what they should do is tell the people of Maine that we can't go the direction of the state of New York and just allow people that are committing or allegedly committing Class A, B, and C felonies out on personal recognizance bail. That's what they're doing in New York. That's bizarre. It would threaten the safety of this community. We should be vigilant that the legislature does not go in that direction. But, you know, for an OUI, maybe the guy with a couple assaults, we might be scratching our head a little more, asking why the DA was only seeking a fine. We don't know the facts. Maybe they were just in a little scuffle at a party and the police were trying to break it up. But if it's, you know, if it's a serious assault where somebody's getting injured, there might be the need for higher bail, but that's already authorized within our bail code. But again, it depends on what information the district attorney has and what information the district attorney provides to the judge when bail is set.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.